You're listening to The Farm Report. I'm Jack Inslee.
Heather Hyman.
And we are here live a bit late, 5:20. It's all good, though. Happy St. Patrick's Day, y'all. It's March 17th. We are sitting here with Mr. John Hoppin. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
We're excited to have John Hoppin with us here today. He is what you could call a new member of the Heritage Foods USA team. He also has a little connection here to Roberta's, where we're broadcasting out of the backyard on our rooftop garden, rooftop farm radio station.
And I think his album is number one on iTunes. Is that what I heard?
That's right.
Wow.
And the royalty checks are coming in, but check it out. All you have to do, type in J-O-H-N-H-O-P-P-I-N. That's my name, John Hoppin, in the search field in the upper right-hand corner of your iTunes, and you can cop my album called Shutdown Corner. Came out March 8th.
I think as you have a station on Last FM too.
That's right. You can listen to the album. You can preview it on Last FM. I don't know, Amazon. It's available all over the internet. The internet is going wild for me, frankly.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, we're happy to have you here with us today. John has come aboard Heritage Foods USA to kind of help regionalize our mail order system. And what that means, I'll let him explain a little bit.
Yeah, basically, I met with Patrick here at Roberta's end of last summer. Patrick is the president over at Heritage Foods, and he said to me, "You know, we're thinking about going to two distribution centers. Everything comes out of Missouri right now." So I said, "Well, we can look into that, figure out how that's going to work, and look at the numbers, see if that makes sense." And, you know, I told him at the time I think it would, and indeed it did. So we're now shipping live out of two DCs, West and East Coast, Virginia, Sam Edwards in Surrey, Virginia, right across the river from Colonial Williamsburg, and from Caney Foods in San Luis Obispo, feeding the West Coast.
Now, Heather, what was the situation like before this change?
Well, before this change, everything was shipping either direct from the farm or the slaughterhouse, which most slaughterhouses, you know, aren't necessarily set up to be what a DC is, a distribution center. Mm-hmm. So the costs were a little higher. It meant that, you know, people were paying for the shipping and the box and things of that nature, all for one product. John helped make it possible for people to start, you know, adding more items into their online shopping cart for a lower price in the end because of how we're now able to ship our product. John, what do you think? How do you think it's going so far?
Well, we just went live. You know, the email came out Monday night. Last week we were testing the system, but I mean, we've had a greater order volume, but the bottom line is for the customer, for the client on the website, they can log in and order whatever they want for as much as 35% off. You know, so that's a big number, and that savings number gets bigger if you add more items into the cart, because we used to charge savings in the item price, and now we're charging one shipping for your order. And then we're saying, okay, shipping for your order, it's this size order, it's this shipping amount, and then just whatever you can fit, however many items you can fit in the box. So it's the item and shipping is separate.
Now, the thing that's kind of unique about, you know, this marriage between John Hoppin and Heritage Foods is his background has really not much to do with food necessarily. Can you tell us where you came from before you started working a little bit with Heritage?
Well, something that people say about me a lot is that I had a lot of careers. I went to school for fine arts. So I ran a group called It Can Change, actually, for about 6 years, and we did exhibitions internationally. So did that, and then I wanted to get into business, and so I got into corporate retail, working for, like, you know, the big names in that industry, like Limited Brands, you know, Victoria's Secret, Bath and Body Works, Ann Taylor, doing logistics stuff, distributing their items.
Well, it sounds like your name of your first project, It Can Change, has followed you to where you are now, which is making a big change. What's really special about what John's doing for Heritage and for the farmers that Heritage Foods works with is he's really helping make the food that's coming from these independent farmers more affordable to people at home. And that's really the ultimate goal in what we've done with setting up these new distribution centers.
Yeah, and I have a question, John. Does this bring the prices of Heritage Foods down closer to the status quo? What else is out there?
I think you can log on to any of our competitors and check out their prices, and I feel pretty confident we'll meet those. I know our major competitors in many, I can't say that every single item will be cheaper, but what I can say is we're competing now with the big boys, and also in many cases we're whipping them.
Yeah,
we
win. That's incredible.
And when he's talking about the big boys, he's talking about a non-comparable product. He's talking about not a breed specific, a pasture raised necessarily, piece of meat. So that's what's really special here, is that we are up against, people that are providing, food that is, charged with corners being cut in the process. And that's not happening on our end. And we're still matching those prices now. So we definitely thank John for his help with that.
Yeah, the bottom line is, you want four steaks, you can look at, I'm not gonna call them out, but you can try and find ribeye steaks online cheaper than ours, and with a breed specific product, with sustainable pasture raised, no hormones, no antibiotics, you won't find it. I don't think you will. And if you do, give me a call. My email address is John, J-O-H-N, at heritagefoodsusa.com.
And then we could talk further about what we can do.
Yeah, I would love to know. Any executives for other companies listening, let's talk.
Well, John, what do you think that you could, bring to other, small businesses that are trying to really grow?
Well, this isn't actually my first small business. Like I said a lot about art, said a lot about corporate stuff, but also, that's why I'm here at Roberta's. I've been here since the opening day, and at the opening party, I was washing dishes because I was living in the warehouse four blocks from here, where all the people who started this lived at the same time too. So I've always been involved with these kind of entrepreneurs, small business. I worked at a jewelry business in Brooklyn that was manufacturing in a loft live workspace, and I said, hey, we can make more money, put this in a retail space, and the retail space will pay for it. It'll get the workers out of your house every day. Mm-hmm. It'll give you a space to design, a production area, and an office to do the business. So that was my first really kind of foray into that world, and Heritage is continuing that.
So what haven't you done?
I've been a cook. I just came from a restaurant in Greenpoint. I ordered two Berkshire split heads, which you can get on the website at a 35% discount.
Oof.
From what they were before last week. Just to give you an idea.
Tell us what to do with a pig's head.
So we got those. We boned them out.
Did you take the eyeballs out?
Over in River Barrel. River Barrel is the restaurant on Franklin Avenue in Greenpoint. Right up, I think it's like Green and Franklin. So went over there. My friend Johnny Meyer is the chef there. So we went into the basement, boned out the heads, covered him in kimchi, cured him for 4 days. Then we rolled him up last night, like into tornichon, like a cylinder of meat, basically, with the skin and the ears, went through the eye. The skin is on the outside. Whoa. We've been braising it. It's going to come out at 7 o'clock, so I'm going to be over there in Greenpoint taking those out. I also have to give a shout out to Dave. There's a wine store just opened across the street from River Barrel. He used to be the chef de cuisine at Dressler for a couple of years. He's been helping out. But basically, we're kind of ghetto sous-viding them for about 24 hours, and then we're going to make them into pucks, get fried with a little, mayo dressing and a bitter green salad, and maybe some, like, dehydrated pistachios if we want to get really fancy. I don't know where we're going.
Kind of sounds like the Mama Fuko Sambar little Have you had
it has a, we're making, so I have four split heads. One of them I'm gonna make just like the recipe is pretty much crib straight from the Momofuku cookbook.
Yep, and those are actually, it's our Newman Berkshire pork
that those are like the fried little cakes with the, exactly. Yeah, that's delicious.
It's stuffed with pigs.
So I was like, let's make those.
That's really good.
I also want to make some, you can roll them up, make kind of porchetta di testa, they call it, which I think is kind of a bastardization of the idea of porchetta. But it's head porchetta, basically sliced thin, and then that gets served or fried or, you know, thrown into a salad. So, and one's in the oven right now braising. I'm probably going to eat the jowls for dinner tonight.
Intense.
Well, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come right back here on the Heritage Radio Network. You can call in. We're still here live, 718-497-2128. And thanks again to S. Wallace Edwards and Sons.
They'll say forever, because forever is all that's on their minds. Because on the streets out here, it's night all the time.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. This is the Farm Report. I'm Jack Inslee.
Heather Hyman.
And we are at Roberta's Pizza, 261 Moore Street. There's kids running around outside making me nervous. Old people celebrating St. Patrick's
Day.
Don't
let kids and old people make you nervous, man.
I can't help it.
You were one. You were one and you will be one.
Oh, no.
If I'm lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yes. Yeah. Every day is a present.
So we're here talking with John Business Hoppin'.
I'm not that comfortable with that. No. I'm not 100% a businessman. What I'd say about
you're
myself,
a businessman.
I am a businessman, but also creative logistics, you know, operations. My dad, you know, ran East Coast for Skyway for 10 years, if you remember Skyway shipping operation. So that's kind of runs in the family.
So we'll say logistics then.
I like logistics. I considered an MBA before the crisis in 2007. And then I thought maybe that isn't a good idea, but I still have a part of me that wants to be a risk manager or, you know, get an advanced degree in logistics.
Wow.
With a number one album on iTunes.
I'd like you to know that on heritagefoodsusa.com right now, 38 out of 54 pork products that were existing last week are now cheaper.
That's awesome.
I thought it was 43.
I just made up that number, but I used the conservative one.
The real number is 43 out of 54.
Wow.
And that's not just pork. It's heritage pork,
myself
beef,
away.
And poultry. I know. It's amazing. So we're really
cheaper all across categories.
Wonderful. Well, what's a lesson that you could give to some other slow businesses, as we sometimes like to call ourselves?
Do the math, man. Don't be afraid of doing the math on things. That's the way you get answers. And in businesses, people are afraid of it. Like, you know, if you got to go home and get the beans out and put them on the table and make them into groups to figure out what's going on.
You gotta visualize it. Yeah, whatever you need to do.
I don't have a math degree. You know, you just look at a problem and try and solve it.
What has the biggest challenge been so far in this transition for Heritage Foods for you? Is it working with me?
No, not at all. It's the logistical challenges. One of which they're not you. Well, I mean, you know, probably my biggest challenge or everyone else's biggest challenge is probably working with me. So I know how you feel. But I think the key to it is with Heritage has been about trying to stay true to the vision, which is not about making the most money possible.
Definitely not.
That's not what it's about. It's about coming back here tomorrow and having the same earth or better. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm involved. That's what attracted me. I've been a CSA member since the early 90s in California. So it's been a focus of mine.
You've grown up around sustainable agriculture pretty much your whole life where you were, right?
Not really. Well, I grew up eating SpaghettiOs in the basement, you know, so, but then at a certain point I rebelled against that, and there in Northern California, there's all kinds of venues for, I had a friend that was doing the website. She said, you should get into this CSA. And I said, you know, me, I did the math on it. I said, that's going to be cheaper. You know, and it was. Sense. It was.
And you were supporting something good at the same time.
Chef Boyardee just called in and said that you're a traitor.
Look, I had some bad experiences, you know, with microwave peas. One time I was a kid, I got sent to the hospital about 8 months old. My parents went outside to manage to fit the whole package of frozen peas up my nose, and they had to give me a pump neti pot get the pea residue in. And my dad said for like a week, I was like dribbling green objects.
That's
out of
no
my,
good.
No, that does not sound like fun.
It's a rough life, but now I have this. I have a real, you know. I don't think if you serve your kid real peas, they could get real peas up their nose. You know,
probably
lesson.
Not.
That's a lesson learned.
Well. Now that you're working for, you know, what I and what we consider, you know, to be, in the words of Slow Food, a good, clean and fair business, what is something that, you know, for working for some of the big men that you'd say you don't appreciate about a bigger, better business?
You know, I had a great experience working in big places, but I'm aware that it takes those kind of places. Can I swear?
Yes, you can.
It takes those kind of places to fuck the world up the way it is currently really fucked up, and that attitude of like everything is secondary to the dollar bill, I can't ever get with that. But I will tell you, in those places with all that money, I learned a lot. Because first of all, you can't just drop $100,000, you're fired, you know. And that kind of expectation level and stress level was hard, but it was also like a trial by fire.
Well,
and so I wouldn't give it up.
I want to ask you, what excites you outside of
it's
all
baseball
of this?
Season, baby?
Okay, baseball, really?
I mean, that's what it is right now. It's basketball's coming. I'm not into NCAA. Sorry to everybody. Okay. But
March Madness for you.
I don't get mad at March. I'll be like half watching Tiger Woods or something. But it's baseball all the
and
way.
And your team is?
I'm an Oakland A's fan, but. I live, you know, that's where I was raised. I have the Oakland A's, you know, I have a little bear from when I was like 1 year old, the little stuffed bear. I still got it in my apartment.
Now, what about some slow business practices for sports franchises? A lot of money going around there.
You know, I have been trying to get involved with sports franchises, not for the money, but because of there's so much money that means the potential for positive change is greater.
Right.
If those people can get $5 million to sit on the bench, we can do a lot with that. And like, you know, here at Roberta's with the farm heritage, with what we're doing, that kind of capital and making those kind of connections, in my book, they just haven't been made yet, because I know it makes sense to fund the kind of enterprise that we're all undertaking.
Definitely. Totally. And if we can create more of a community, which is what we're doing here with this network and with our farmers, you know, people will really get to start to share in the good.
So next year, Heritage Radio Network brought to you by the New York Knicks. Make it happen.
I hope not. I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm a Warriors fan. Boo. You know, I love the Warriors. I love the Warriors. You know, a small team creates great problems. You got to really be
you stole
on your
our draft pick
game.
This year. We wanted Steph Curry.
Curry
you
all
stole
day.
Him. You
all
stole
day.
Him.
He's a great ball handler. He could do anything.
I know.
They said he couldn't do it. Small school. But that's like us at Heritage. You know, this is a small school. We were about to go big. That's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to bring those prices down to make it accessible for you and me. You know, like... And I think we've gone, look online, look at our competitors and tell me we haven't done that.
And that's
all.
HeritageFoodsUSA.com is where you could look.
So one
up.
More question, John. If I have a modest budget and I want to buy a good piece of meat or pork, what are you picking on the website? What's the best value?
Look, I'm a steak man. Okay. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay. Like, I don't, when it comes to what I put in my mouth, value doesn't come naturally. But if you want a value cut of meat, I would go shoulders.
Okay.
You know, I would go shoulders. That's something you can prepare a different way. You can make rillettes. You can make steaks out of it. You can do that all out of one shoulder cut.
I could have sworn you were going to say a smoked ham.
I just served a 22-pound ham, put it in the oven for about 3 hours and 20 minutes.
And how long did that last you?
It lasted me one dinner party. Like, we finish. I have a little... my neighbor is a 92-year-old. I got to give a shout-out to my neighbor. Eugenia, que pasó, tato bien. She's 92. She's Puerto Rican. She lives across the hall. So I said, okay, what better to do with a couple slices? She doesn't eat a lot. So I brought over some ham and some coleslaw we made.
So a 22-pound ham, you were able to serve how many people? 18-pound ham.
Let me tell you how I made it first, because I heard a lot of... There's different ways you can make these hams. Okay. They're smoked. They're already cooked. Like, mm-hmm. you could chop it and put it in a sandwich.
Totally.
But what I like to do with that bone-in ham is put it in the oven at about 300, 325 for 3.5 hours. And then take it out, cover it in a glaze of like brown sugar, mustard, and bourbon.
Damn.
Thick, you know. And you got to score the fat first into squares.
Because nice.
As it cooks, that'll render and moisten it. So about 3.5 hours in, you baste it, turn it up to 350, half an hour, put it back in, half an hour later, take it out again, baste again. And at 4 hours and 20 minutes, okay, you should be ready to take that out. Slice it down to the bone and serve. And it is the jam. We had people at local restaurant tours around here, and even Roberta's people over there eating on it and saying, and people called me, or still calling me, saying it was the best ham they ever ate.
Nice. Impressive. Well, we're glad to hear that. Especially with Easter coming up, a lot of people, you know, they serve those as their centerpieces for their meals. So you can definitely go online, check out everything we've got to offer: ham, beef, poultry, but you know, all cuts of pork, definitely available for you and your, you know, holiday parties.
I hate the phrase, but you are a true Renaissance man. I have to say it.
And I want to say, it's Easter. Step your game up. You know, it's ham time. You know, and if you're not coming with a ham, get that weak shit out of here. But well, thank you.
We thank you for joining us today on the Heritage thanks. Farm Report. We thank Edwards for sponsoring today's show. We'll be back here live again next Wednesday at
5. Thank you to Nat Wiener, our engineer. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy birthday, Francesca, baby. Love
beautiful.
You.
John Hoppin on iTunes now.
Yeah.